Hakotin Erev Shabbos, we might begin with Ezes Hashem, the Shiurim on self-confidence, some of them from Rav Zelig Pliskin and other places, Shiur number 134. One of the issues that hold back self-esteem or hold back our full capacity and falling into a trap of negative thinking is the negativity of the shoulds. I should do this, I should do that. In cognitive therapy, that's one of the things that are negative thoughts that you counteract. You feel you should have to do this and this and this. And that creates an anxiety or making you feel down when you fall short of what you should do. But then you have to challenge it. What do you mean should? You know, maybe I don't have to do this. Now, this is a little complex when you're a from observant Jew, or even if you're not and you follow the code of what Hashem wants from you, by a non-Jew to keep the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach, and for a Jew to keep the tayag mitzvahs. So we can't say that the shoulds are always negative. The reverse is true. If Torah, which is Lashon Hara to teach us, and it's Samachayim, it's the source of life, is telling us to keep these tayag mitzvahs, so those shoulds are healthy for the man that he should put on tefillin, right? Or that a woman should light Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, which is the Rabbanah, but it's still a should. Those shoulds are positive. They're mitzvahs from Hashem himself that he tells you to do or what not to do. But the negative shoulds are those shoulds that you are not supposed to do, or things that you, let's say you, for example, someone is ill, and the Rav Paskin, you cannot eat onion, you have to eat onion kippur. You have to, right? So, this person, it's the reverse. He always felt all his life he should fast onion kippur. There you break that should. No, halacha dictates you have to eat. So, again, when it comes to actual direct mitzvahs and it's absolute, then the should is healthy because it's Hashem telling it to you. But when Hashem is not telling you openly should, and it's just the nuance of things, you ask a Rav Shaila, and especially in regular mundane matters, just because your mind says you should do something doesn't mean that you have to. In this aspect of it, flexibility is a much greater maila and virtue. Not to keep a rule, but not to be forced into what society tells you what to do, what culture tells you what to do, even what a particular Hasidus in your end, the Hasidus tells you to do. In other words, if they tell you you have to wear this and this type of glasses, because the other type of glasses is, Koyach HaTum or something. So you evaluate. If it's a crazy fashion, okay, then it makes sense. You know, don't act like the guy with a crazy fashion. But if it's a normal looking pair of glasses that everyone wears, and all of a sudden out of the blue you can't wear those glasses, that type of should could be poison, and you're not supposed to listen to it. Because by following that, it brings a person to being neurotic and obsessive and structured in a way where it's unhealthy. Like, why do you have to do this? You know? It's like saying that you have to, you know, pull your earlobe 5 times every day right after you say Aleinu, you know, because you heard it up in Kabbalah or whatever. You know, it gets to that point, which could lead to, when you don't do this, to depression, anxiety, unhappiness. That's a consequence of your warped view of I have to meet a should. That's why it's so important to speak to a Pesach. Because in Shulchan Aruch, it may say sometimes that you chayev to do something, but a circumstance comes and you ask a Pesach, whether it's a Ramosha Feinstein when he was alive, Zichronoi Levracha, or anyone else, and they tell you you're exempt. You're exempt, even though the Shulchan Aruch says you're not exempt. You understand? So this should, when a Rav Moshe or a Rebbe that's also a Pesach and wise tells you something that you should do, that the Shulchan Aruch says that technically you shouldn't, or vice versa, you follow that gadol. And following the Shulchan Aruch then is a dangerous should you're not supposed to follow. That is what we're saying here. What Hashem is telling to you on the Torah level, that's a healthy should of an obligation. But most of the rules that we try to follow, whether in the guise of frumkeit or in the guise of being an Eved Hashem or better person, very often these rules are foolish or misapplied. Or they're not negeya and it's destructive. It happens a lot, for example, by Pesach. There's certain chumras that, let's say, a husband came into and makes his wife nuts, literally nuts, about certain Pesach menhagim because his mother or grandmother did it, and they go to a Rav. This happened quite commonly, and the Rav, there's many different stories or versions of these things. The Rav tells the husband, yes, by your mother or your grandmother, they made their own sugar, they made their own ketchup, they made their own whatever, everything. You're right. But the Gadol would sometimes tell this husband, you know something? You make it yourself? Fine. But if you don't make it yourself, if you can't make whatever ketchup, I don't know, pick an example, Kosher Pesach ketchup, whatever that is. Wife wants to buy it. Husband says, we don't buy. They ask the Shaila. The Rav says, you want homemade ketchup? Make it yourself. You don't make it yourself, she buys it from the store. If you get a psak like that, then that breaks any should of all those menhagim. That's just an example. What is this in the world, does this have to do with self-esteem? What's the connection? The connection is very clear, because very often our self-esteem gets bashed in ourselves, where we lower ourselves by thinking we should do something when in reality we really shouldn't. Even a chassid that goes to a tish Friday nights and they enjoy it and the wife encourages them to go, so it's all good and everything is wonderful. That particular night, the wife is going to the mikveh, Leil Tefillah, then he has a fifth Shulchan Aruch in his cup to know whether he starts acting on whatever he's acting after Chatzos, before Chatzos, that it may make sense not to go to Tish that particular night. That's a should that's unhealthy when it's misused. The should becomes an avodah zarah, that you went to Tish 45 Shabbosim in a row, and you're going to break your pattern, and I should not break this pattern. That should is an avodah zarah that could break you. Right? I never eat cake. So you were successful. 4 months you did not eat cake. But now you're very irritable and you're hungry. And you know if you come into the house now, you're going to blow a stack. And the only thing you could eat before you go home, it's a 20-minute ride from your office to home, is a piece of cake. But you didn't eat a piece of cake in 4 months. Yom Shemeshayer. What's better? To break into the taiva and eat a piece of cake? And calm your nerves so you come into the house ruig so you don't yell at your wife? Or, no, I'm going to break my Yetzirah and not eat the cake. So most people, Israel Tauber being one of them, he explained this concept. You break your habit and you eat the piece of cake. You make a mezonos before. Wonderful. You make a ala michya from a siddur pointing in afterwards. Beautiful. You do that, you eat the piece of cake. That's the should now. But the should that I should never eat that cake if I had a streak of not eating it to break my taiva now becomes an avodah zarah. And people who are obsessed with this and feel bad about themselves because of these false shoulds could break a person's healthy self-esteem. So Abraham Lincoln, you could go this way or that way. I believe he was a decent person. People blame him for redeeming slaves and all that stuff. I'm not getting into that nonsense. But the bottom line is he said some very wise things. He was a Baal Yisurim. He went through very difficult things in his life. That itself is a measure. And overall, he was a very decent person. You read up all the history about him. You try to find all the junk about him. You'll come out at the end of the day. He had a lot of wisdom, even if you feel he made errors in various things. And he said that I never had a policy that I could always apply. I mean, there's no absolute rule. I simply attempted to do what made the greatest amount of sense at the moment. By the way, Paiskim do this all the time. There's an absolute rule in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaba says this. The Rama says that. Sometimes you'll have a Machlokes HaPaiskim whatever way. A Matziv comes to a Paisik pertaining to that din in Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes he will tell the Ashkenazi, even though the Rama says opposite, and the Rama and the Mishnah Berurah both say this way, for you, you need to do that way. And you listen to the Paisik. So in that particular instance, even the Shulchan Aruch itself, the Rama itself, the Mishnah Berurah itself, is not a should anymore. You're not a slave to any single policy that can apply to every single case. It's not shayach. That's why we have Paiskim, that value of matziv. There's Hayrash Shah, there's Hefzib Merubah, there's all these things. So those shoulds of absolutes are unhealthy. They could break a person's self-esteem when they feel when they fell short of that should. And it should also be something that it could be negatively controlled with other people. So as an example, the Altaf and Kelm, after a long fast, Yom Kippur or wherever it is, he used to dafka eat a fish that had a lot of bones in it, because he had to eat slowly, because if he ate quickly, he would swallow and choke on a bone. So it forced him, even though he was hungry after a long fast, to eat slowly and discipline himself. So that's why he had this fish with a lot of bones in it. So he had to methodically take out the bones in order to eat, which gave him the discipline to eat in a slow-paced way, despite the hunger after a long fast. So a big Oibach Chacham Bacher gets high aspirations, reads this, and on his own says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to buy a bony fish, and after Yom Kippur, after Tisha B'Av, that's what I'm going to do. He doesn't ask. If he would ask a Rav Pam, a Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, or a Hasidish Dayan or Paisik, whichever one, most likely if they had normal wisdom and common sense, they would tell you, don't buy that bony fish. Eat normal stuff after a fast. You want to discipline yourself? Count to 3 or 4 or 5 before you take that drink of water. That's your precious. After a fast, okay, let's pick Tisha B'Av in a time where there's no Havdalah. It's the Zman, and you're not washing yet. You want to take a little piece of cake and orange juice, and you want to be Kaivish Yitaiva. You want to break it. So you say, I'm counting to 10, and then I'm going to eat. Or counting to 20, and then I'm going to eat. Or wait 5 minutes. Call Echad Kfi Madre Gosai. You don't take a bony fish and start picking at it for a half hour, because you're Mr. Altaf and Kelm also. All of a sudden you think you're going to end up in Gan Eden with him by doing these things. This is what we're talking about with the unhealthy shoulds. Pertaining to self-esteem is because if someone has in their heads, oy vey, I have to do this, I have to do this. The chusid that for some reason the wife didn't wash the vices zuzukin and he only has something else to wear while everyone is wearing the vices zuzukin, he's not. And it becomes a trauma. That's an unhealthy should. That's an unhealthy should. Something came up where someone's not feeling well, but mitunisht essen between 6 and 7, mazel madim, on Friday night, but everyone's hungry and irritable. There's a shikol hadas there. Right? Like the Vishnu Tzareb, I think, on Asar B'Tavis, he said, forget about the mazel madim stuff. After the fast, you eat. That type of shikol hadas. Then the should becomes poison when it's absolute. It breaks self-esteem when you feel you have to get there and you become crushed. At the same time, it creates a control issue with other people. This is a tremendously important yesod. Don't make your own shoulds, even if you think it's a halucha or something else. You're going to be angry at your wife because she was too tired to make challah at all, though she made it already from the time they were married for the the past 2 years, she made challah every single Erev Shabbos, and you as a husband felt it's part of the mitzvah. It brings a kedusha, and you have the lecha mishnah with that hafrashas challah that your wife made. It elevated you. You're putting hadlokas neiris and challah into the picture. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And your wife's not feeling well, and she's not up to it. And you hack her a chaynik because there was a 2 year, 3 year streak that she made it every single Erev Shabbos, and now she simply can't, and you're afraid it'll break a habit, and you're in action. Midarf destin, we should, meaning it's a achiev. It's like a neder now. You have to be matan neder if you can't. And all this mishagas, without asking anybody, that's an unhealthy should. Bracha v'atzlacha.